We might like to recall this. Sometimes people forget that the Iranians today, the modern descendants of those Persians, are not Arabs. They are not Semitic speakers. They speak a language that is related to ours. And secondly, not only are they outside of this flow of the cultures of the ancient Near East in being Indo-European and not Semitic, but secondly, they don't come from Mesopotamia, and finally, that is not really the heartland of their empire when they do become a great Near Eastern empire. They originally come from the southern steppes, from southern Russia, and it is out of these great open steppes that these herdsmen and horsemen make their way sometime around 1000 BC. This is obviously a very general date. As they pour south into the high Iranian plateau, they remain scattered in separate tribes and groups of herdsmen and hunters and riders. And it's not until about 700 BC that they become politically unified. Even then, they're still relatively weak and they are still on the outer side of that heartland of the ancient Near East of Mesopotamia. This will change drastically in 558 BC. We're now getting to that stage of history when I can give you actual dates, which makes me very happy compared to talking only about millennia. In 558 BC, Cyrus the Great comes to the throne. And he soon establishes, very quickly, the basis of Persian power, the Persian Empire, by conquering the neighbouring tribe of the Medes. And in doing so, he sets off a campaign of aggressive territorial expansion which will lead into the growth of Persian power across the whole ancient Near East, eventually culminating, of course, in their conflict with the Greeks at the beginning of the 5th century. Cyrus the Great's reign, which lasts from 558 down till his death in 530, sees, for example, the conquest of Babylon, that fabled city of Mesopotamia. And in that action, the Persians are transformed from outsiders and invaders to at one moment becoming the greatest imperial power of the ancient Near East. By the time of his death, in 530 BC, the Persian domain reached all the way from Afghanistan and the upper northwest of India, all the way across Central Asia, as far as modern-day Turkey, the Ionian coast, and the very edges of Greece. This was a vast and extraordinary empire. Now, as we look at the growth of Persian power, inevitably, of course, as the Persian Empire expanded, it brought them into contact with the Greeks. The Greeks of Asia Minor came under direct Persian control, particularly after the conquest of Lydia. Persian control extended virtually all the way to the Aegean. And you remember that ancient Greece included not only the Greek peninsula, but also the Ionian coast, what we would nowadays call the coast of Turkey. But by about 514, much of this now was in Persian hands as well. As this expansion was going on, of course, the Greeks knew that there was a great power coming out of the east. They knew that there was a great power gobbling up the various smaller kingdoms and domains of Asia Minor. And in the work of Herodotus, which we'll be examining more closely in the next lecture, we see the way in which the Greeks eventually would come to comprehend this, to understand what was going on. In particular, if we look at the account of Croesus, the Lydian king who was eventually conquered by the Persians, what we find is that the Greeks were thinking of this in terms of what we might call not history, but rather a morality tale. The expansion of the Persians was like an inexorable wave coming on, and the reaction that it elicited from people as they came in contact with the Persians said much about them. For example, Croesus had believed that his power was invincible, and he suffered, of course, for his arrogance. So in retrospect, as the Greeks look back at the Persians, and as they write stories to account for the growth of Persian power, they are thinking in terms of the lessons that are to be learnt there. Lessons not just about who the Persians are, but what the Greeks have learnt from their contact with the Persians.